I need the Padres offense to wake back up, Mike. They scored 6 runs in the second inning in game 3. Tatis hits that home run. They haven't scored since. So what's going to happen tonight? Decisive game 5 with the Dodgers.
I feel like the Padres lost their mojo, lost their advantage, because the Dodgers just shut them down. You went with Dylan Cease on short rest and never done that before in his career. And that's kind of a red – in this day and age, back in the old days, it was no big deal.
Right.
Well, you know – Tom Glavine or whatever, John Smoltz going on. No big deal. Is this going to work? Didn't work. Dodgers also just, like, they're good, let's be honest. And I think, you know, maybe what they're reading and the storylines coming out of that game 3, Dodgers are soft. They just got punked. You think I don't hear that stuff?
Of course.
You know? I'm sure, look, say what you want about Freddie. Freddie hears that stuff, and I mean, maybe that's one of the things
he's
missed.
He's sensitive. You know it.
Well, but maybe one of those things we missed in our clubhouse last few years is Freddie gets his, hey, you hear what they're saying about us? You know, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. Arraez has been absent. 3-for-18, he's hitting 167. This guy was incredible throughout the course of the season. Gets in the playoffs. We've seen it, right? Guys right. just don't hit. And they went 0-for-9. I'm talking about the Padres with runners in scoring position in game 4. They got to do something tonight. I'm cheering for the Padres. Obviously, they beat us, but I just don't want to see the Dodgers advance. But if this offense doesn't wake up, they're done.
Well, they thought maybe it would be Flaherty, but they're going to go with a guy who is technically the most rested Dodger, and that is Yamamoto. So it's Yamamoto-san going up against Yu Darvish. And we'll see where this one goes. Dodgers are -145. So basically, you bet 145 to win a hundy. So that's how Vegas feels.
Are we going to get a Subway Series again? Are we?
Would be something. Back in 2000 season with the Mets, that's when Roger Clemens threw the chunk of the bat at Piazza, and Piazza didn't respond. Very Arcia-like. Anyway, but getting back to the Dodgers and the Mets. Mets sort of have this Cinderella story. We talked about it with Brett Boone. They got a manager who's kind of playing to their strengths. Dave Roberts, always more pressure on L.A. But I kind of just like that. You like the Dodgers tonight?
I do. I mean, it's hard.
Like, I'm pulling for the Padres. I can't stand
LA. It's hard for me to believe that the Dodgers are going to blow this tonight. I just feel like that they won the game they absolutely had to win, and now they go home, and now the pressure to me is on San Diego to go on the road and handle this. So,
and you guys know, all hands on deck, so everybody can pitch. Probably even see, you know, Michael K. Everybody will be in this game, basically.
By the way, we spent a lot of time on it yesterday. I know a lot of guys are hitting us up with the Seitzer news of the Braves moving on from their hitting coach. It was 3 coaches that they moved on from. But Seitzer's the guy, you know, that everybody was focused on because he's the hitting coach. And the team did not hit well this year, and we know that. But we also know the reason why. And I just want to kind of, you know, talk about this a little bit more, Mike, as we get ready to get into an NFL blitz here. And we're talking some baseball playoffs. I just feel like, again, if you missed yesterday, this, for me, all right, is a move that teams make, and whether it's the Braves or other teams that we've seen,
right,
where things don't go their way and they are looking for a reason to say, hey, here's the reason, fan base. Here's what happened. And we all know that's not the case. If you watch this team, you guys know we were banged up. This is not on Kevin Seitzer. He's a really good dude. He was a great hitting coach last year, and I don't believe anything changed from his approach, Mike. This whole approach thing, fans are killing me with this about the approach could be better. Well, tell me how, when all of your stars are absent and banged up.
Well, this goes back to, I think, because Chipper, and Chipper's commentary was more about, I think, baseball, but I think Braves fans, he did say he doesn't like the way the team's going at it. Guys, no Major League Baseball team is not incorporating launch angle into their approach. I mean, and look, I'm not going to debate hitting with Chipper because he knows what the hell he's talking about. I'm just telling you, it's baseball, and the Braves are not like the Dodgers. You know, Snickers talked about it. They get the analytics, they use it, but it doesn't define the Braves, and it doesn't define Seitzer's approach. And my argument to Braves fans last year, so they got the greatest offense you've ever seen. Did Seitzer get a raise last year? What? Hello? But you guys want to make this guy the fall guy and buy what the team is selling you when it's a bunch of bull, okay? You had a bunch of guys not do their job. Matt Olson came back to earth from last season. You know, so I guess Seitzer, whatever he was telling Ozuna worked, but it didn't work for – come on. It's just ridiculous. But because Chipper went on, you know, he's done some social media and he's talked about it when he's on the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Braves are not defined by launch angle. It's just you got guys, Matt Olson either strikes out, walks, or hits a home run. That's kind of what he does.
Yeah. And you are also missing, what, 200 RBI between Ronald Acuña and Riley?
And then we get into the – and then no Brave wants to admit that, oh, I'm sorry, Gio Urshela is not Austin Riley down the stretch, right?
Journeyman.
That's it. And Ronaldo Laureano, I mean, whatever his name is, Laureano, or all these other dudes. So, look, Chipper is right. I don't like all the analytics crap. I think it's too much. But Seitzer wasn't defined by that, nor was his approach.
Yeah. if I give you more analytics to analyze a situation, a lot of times it still gets back to just getting up there and hitting.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, we can watch all the film we want. We can watch all the launch angles, Mike. We can watch, you know, what his out pitches and all this stuff. At the end of the day, you got to get in the box and hit. And so giving me more information about how to do it is great. Can you do it is right. My question.
I mean, look, Matt Olson should hit 50 home runs every year. You got a left-handed hitter in a short porch on right. Figure it out.
Yeah.
And then you got guys who just can't do their job. Arcia can't hit, and Murphy can't hit. And that's not Kevin Seitz's fault.
It's not. And by the way, they kept running him out there. I mean, they kept running him out there.
And all of us said, you know, like, we get it. Travis, Darno's getting older, but I'd have ran Darno out the entire fall.
Oh, yeah, because we know he's clutch.
Correct.
At least he'll come up with a big knock every now and then. Give me a break. Hey, this hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk more about our Falcons. Mark Weiser's on the way as well to talk some dogs. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz. The one thing the Falcons have to be concerned about is Chuba Hubbard,
right,
the running back for the Carolina Panthers. I was about to reverse that, strike that, and reverse it.
Yep.
Raheem Morris was talking about this to us, about how they need to game plan to try to stop or at least slow down the run for the Carolina Panthers.
Chuba Hubbard is tough to deal with. You know, he's running the ball really well. He's been a productive player. I think he went to Iowa State, even from since his days at Iowa State, I believe. And it's no different. He's a hard runner. He's a very skillful runner, particularly inside the tackles. He's broken a couple long runs this year, has done really well. And, like, I think it's no different in game planning for him than it is to just stop the universal up front with their O-line, targeting things the right way, doing it the right way. We got to be in our fits and make our hits. We got to be in our gaps and make our hits. And, like, if you're not, he'll certainly exploit that.
Yeah, and I think Coach corrected himself with us, Mike, when he said Oklahoma State, when he talked to us. I think that was before he actually spoke with us when we were up there at Flowery Branch.
He's a man. He's 25, is Chuba Hubbard. But Chuba Hubbard's been one of the bright spots for that team, which is banged up right now. We talked about it yesterday. You'll hear more from their play-by-play guy about just how banged up they are. Austin Corbett, their center, is out. One of their tackles is banged up. They've got a bunch of dudes in the secondary that are also banged up. Deontay Johnson is questionable at wide receiver. A lot of injuries for Carolina.
Clowney's doubtful.
Yep. Now, on our side, Troy Anderson is out for this week, it looks like.
Yeah, and listen, I think they're probably going to use the 4 weeks, my guess is, Mike, with his injury. But the good news is he's not out for the season. He'll be back.
Bijan's off the injury report. Sorry to interrupt.
Limited?
He's just off. He's not listed at all.
Oh, okay.
So he's okay. And then everybody else you saw today was just basically old guy day off, like Onyemata, Grady Jarrett, Caleb McGarry now falls in that category as a veteran, and Jake Matthews.
Okay, cool. So we're healthy, in other words.
Right.
For the most part. Let's hear from CeeDee Lamb, Mike. He thinks the media is leading the charge to drive a stake between him and Dak Prescott.
I don't even think people know what I said.
What did you say?
Jump ball, foe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, jump ball. Yeah, jump balls, foe. He threw a back shoulder.
Right.
And then, obviously, I had the height advantage on the guy who got the pick, so I was like, throw it up. You know what I'm saying? He understood it. And the message got through, but all that other stuff, that's kind of out the window to me. You know what I'm saying? The media is going to do what the media does. People are going to have their own opinion. Again, me and Dak ain't got no beef. Man, that's my lock of me. I don't know what they talking about, but I'm not worried about it.
He's talking about the exchange in the Steeler game last Sunday night where you see Dak not answering him. He's just got a knee. He's kind of looking out in space, and CeeDee Lamb is talking to him, and everybody who reads lips now says, this is what he said. This is what he's talking about. And so he's saying, explaining himself, he was telling Dak to throw a jump ball, and everybody said, oh, he got after Dak. Man, they got a problem in Dallas. Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, it is what wide receivers do. You know, whether you're Stephon Diggs getting after Josh Allen a couple of years back, it's just kind of how it, you know, we talked earlier with Bryant McFadden about what's going on with George Pickens up there in Steel City. Meanwhile, with the Jets, Todd Downing, I am the new offensive coordinator.
Uh-oh.
And we're not sounding, I'm not saying he sounded like this, I'm just making fun that they're all fearing Aaron Rodgers. You know, ire.
Oh, for sure.
We're not sounding an alarm about Aaron Rodgers. He knows how to prepare and diagnose defenses, and that's what we're anticipating this week. Right, Mr. Rodgers?
Whatever Aaron wants.
I'm just happy for this opportunity. They said that Hackett apparently is handling himself well. What's he going to do? Going to go mope?
I mean, you're still getting a check. Give me a break.
You're getting paid and you can't do the work. So
he's getting a check.
Good for you.
I mean, come on. Yeah.
Aaron, you want some Dunkin' Donuts? I'm making a run.
I'm sure he already knows how he likes his coffee, Mike. It's Dukes and Bellis, our NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Joe Burrow's off to a really good start. His team is not, but he is. But, Mike, believe it or not, he's like, look, I'm still not throwing it the way I want to.
Still not quite throwing it the way that I would like. You know, I'm making good decisions. I'm putting the ball where I want to. You know, I still think there's another level of improvement that I can get to coming back from injury on ball location and spin rate and all that. So that's going to continue to get better as I get healthier. And so there's always another level to find.
He threw 5 touchdowns last week.
I mean, Joe's, I think your spin rate's okay, pal. I think it's the defense and the injuries. I think it's the fact the defense can't get stops when it matters is really what's become the issue. And the fact that your coach went into a shell after Lamar Jackson fumbled the football last week. That was just dumb. They got so ultra-conservative, they needed, I think they had one I guess it was one pass attempt, right?
It was 3 runs.
3 runs.
It was three straight runs. And then that, poof. I mean, it didn't make any sense.
Hey, man, the Eagles taking on the Browns. Oy. We talked about the Browns a lot this week. What's up with Deshaun Watson? Meanwhile, Nick Chubb is still not available for them. But the Eagles will get Devontae Smith back. He's officially cleared the concussion protocol. So they get the full complement with A.J. Brown and him out there against the Cleveland Browns.
While we're talking about the Browns, Amari Cooper addressed the trade rumors, Mike. People are saying that the Browns may try to trade Amari Cooper. Remember, they traded for him, got him from the Cowboys. Here's what he said about it.
I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about us not winning some games. I'm thinking about us winning some games. So that doesn't even cross my mind. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to do to jump off the ship when it's sinking, I guess I would say. But, I mean, I don't even consider myself that type of person. You know, that's what people who aren't dedicated do. That's what people who aren't committed do. Things get hard sometimes. You just have to fight your way through it. I'm a fighter. I know the guys on this team, they're fighters, and that's what fighters do, you know, until the end, fight until the end. So that's what we're going to do.
Amari Cooper, not worried about the trade rumors.
Okay. I mean, it's tough when the team is in the toughest division and things aren't going their way. Here's a great little factoid real quick. We do have Steve Kuhn, and I was going to have this in Guy Talk, so I'll just throw it in. Jared Goff could make some history this week. He has got 19 completed consecutive passes in a row. He went 18 for 18 in week 4, had a completion the week before. So listen to this. If he throws for 7 completions, the NFL record is 25 consecutive passes without an incompletion.
Wow.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. This record in the NFL is shared by 4 different quarterbacks. Ryan Tannehill, Philip Rivers, Nick Foles, and Marcus Mariota.
Really?
No quarterback has ever thrown 26 in a row without one hitting the ground or being dropped. So he's going for some history. See if he can do it against Dallas.
That's interesting. All right. Listen, the way they're playing, he might get it.
I'm presuming that was Marcus's first or second year in Tennessee.
It had to be. Hey, how did Kirby Smart handle this week with his players? Talking about from a motivational standpoint, wait until you hear it. Mark Weiser set to join us from the Athens Banner Herald next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark, it's good to have you back on. I know this week a lot of conversation about Kobe Young and what they were going to do, obviously suspended indefinitely. I just want to start there before we get into the missed state game and how Kirby has handled these situations. You've been covering the Dogs for a long time. You know, Mike and I were just saying, I felt like they needed more transparency, right? This is continuing to happen. I would love for Kirby to just say, hey, here's how we're handling it. I know it's a legal matter, so he's reluctant to do that. But do you think that they've handled these situations as best as possible?
I mean, he was pretty transparent this week. I mean, we talked to him Tuesday night. That morning was when Kobe Young was arrested. He said he hadn't even seen him yet. They practiced that day, and then the next day at the SEC teleconference, he announced he was suspended indefinitely pending, you know, how it plays out basically in the justice system. So Kobe Young's represented by a lawyer, and he's going to try to, you know, win the case for his client. And, you know, Kobe Young told police he didn't do what the accuser said. So we'll see how it plays out. We'll see how long the timeline is for it to play out, because there's football games as Georgia will be playing, and Kobe's not going to be part of it starting Saturday.
And we'll talk about his role and that what that means for the passing game in a minute. Just real quick, Mark, we haven't had you on in a while. We go back to the Trevor Etienne sort of suspension, not suspension for the game at Mercedes-Benz against Clemson. Why didn't Kirby just say, I sat him for the game, as opposed to dressing him and he didn't compete?
Yeah, I can't really answer that. I mean, he kind of did the same thing. I guess it was Kentucky, right? He had a player with a arrest for reckless driving going more than 100 miles an hour on the 10 loop in Athens, a defensive back, and he brought him on the trip, and you know, he warmed up, but he didn't play. He sat in that game. So, I mean, he can call those, you know, he might not have to call them suspensions, but in, you know, all intents and purposes, those guys, we suspended one game.
Mark, this week Kirby was talking about Netflix. What was that all about? I mean, was he just talking about how to motivate his guys, or, you know, where did that come from if they were doing a Netflix documentary?
I think that was, I asked him a question at the Tuesday press conference, whether he's using, you know, Arkansas's upset win over Tennessee, whether he was using Vanderbilt's win over Alabama to kind of motivate his guys. You know, Mississippi State's coming in here, 5-touchdown underdog, something like that. And he said, you know, what he's using to motivate him is telling them, you know, what would you think if you were being filmed for a Netflix documentary about how you practice, how you play, you know, everything you do, meaning, you know, if people are watching and you're going to be documented more so than what happened to another team. That was the example he was using. So I think Netflix or someone was going to be doing some kind of SEC documentary on a team or two. I don't know where that played out or who's doing that. I guess George is not, because he's using that as an example of if they were doing it. But we'll see if they come out with more fire this week. They scored on the first possession last week, then they kind of fizzled out during the first half. So.
It is our Mark Weiser, guys, from the Athens Banner-Herald here on the WaitFor.com hotline. He covers the Dogs. The offense, we just felt, and since, again, we'll get your take on the Alabama game, not to oversimplify it, but maybe just run the football a little bit more. Do you feel that game kind of got away with them, or they were always going to want to throw the football as much as they did in the first half?
Well, I mean, the first possession, they came out throwing the ball, and the game wasn't out of hand then. But, you know, I think that was Arian Smith had to drop that game, I think. And, you know, they weren't moving the ball. Then they fell behind, you know. Eventually, Bama scored the first four possessions, 28-0. So they did just start throwing it. Carson threw the ball 50 times, you know, much better in the second half, but ended up with three picks that night and a fumble lost. I think one of the interceptions was the receiver didn't run the right route, so it really wasn't on Carson. But, no, I mean, they did run the ball better last week against Auburn, and we'll see. It sounds like Nate Frazier, you know, whatever things he has in his game that you know aren't up to speed, whether it's ball security or pass protection, they're gonna make do with what they can, because they want him to touch the ball and to run the ball, and we'll see if they can keep including him you know in the offense.
Mark, what's up with the defense? How do you feel about it as far as why they would, you know, listen, you saw what everybody saw, what Alabama did. And it was, you know, was that just one of those games? Is it a concern as other teams maybe see what Alabama did and try to attack the Dogs that way? I don't think that's going to happen this week. I don't think Miss State is going to be in this game. That's just my opinion. But when you talk about moving down the road, whether it's Texas in the following week or, you know, Ole Miss or some of these other offenses that may be capable of that.
Well, their best player, one of their best players, Michael Williams, really hasn't been available the amount of snaps. So he missed a couple games, and then I think he might have had 6 snaps last week. He's not on the injury report this week on the SEC. Maybe he's able to give them closer to what you expect in terms of you know, being included, getting out there more often. That would certainly help. They haven't tackled well. They tackled better last week. They cut their tackles from 15 missed tackles against Kentucky, 15 against Alabama. I think it was down to 7 last week. You also lost 3 guys that went in the top 2-3 rounds in the secondary with Tyke Smith, Javon Bullard, and Kamari Lassiter. And it's not easy just to, you know, point at KJ Bolden or Julian Humphrey and say you're next and you got to perform up to that level. So some of those guys need to be developed more. And, you know, Georgia, you know, is not going to face Jalen Milroe until the playoff or the SEC championship game. And Auburn's quarterback, you know, even though he didn't have a turnover last week, they only ended up with 13 points. So I think a lot of it was Jalen Milroe and Ryan Williams in particular.
They've had so many just impactful defensive linemen, interior linemen. You know, Jalen Carter comes to mind, but Jordan Davis, all those guys. And nothing against the interior linemen this year, but was that one of the bigger differences in the championship teams? I mean, obviously you had a Stetson Bennett on the other side, but do they have that super dog on defense right now?
I mean, it really hadn't shown. I mean, Michael Williams is that kind of guy, you know, but the last year and this year, no, they don't have the Devontae Wyatts, the Jordan Davises, the Jalen Carters, you know, Trayvon Walker. I mean, that's a pretty rare. What people forget is that Georgia didn't have any defensive linemen drafted. I think it was before 2022 for like 10 plus years. So, you know, they are paying Trey Scott a lot of money as a defensive line coach to recruit these kind of players. And I think they might be about to get another one or two five-star defensive linemen. But right now, Michael Williams is the best they have, and he has been injured a lot. So, you know, he's not really interior as much. They're going to be playing him more as an outside linebacker, edge defensive end. But, no, there's no one like that now.
Have they utilized Oscar Delp as much as we thought, or not really?
He's been out there. They just haven't been targeting him that much. And then, you know, they bring in the kid from Stanford that had 100-plus catches as well. He has zero catches this year. So, you know, clearly Lawson Lucky is kind of the guy as the pass-catching tight end. You wonder with Colby Young out now if the tight ends can get some more touches and get those guys going a little bit.
Talking with Mark Weiser, guys. So you expect a high-scoring game? We know that Kirby's not going to cover the spread, Mark. Not that you're into that sort of thing. But do you expect a lot of points coming up on Saturday?
I mean, by Georgia, yeah. I don't expect Mississippi State to do that much. I think I picked Georgia to win but not cover. I can't remember. I don't have it in front of me, but like 38-10, something like that. I guess that would be the spread. I had a little bit. Maybe I had 38-13. I can't remember. But right. Mississippi State has a freshman, true freshman quarterback that got pushed into the starting job because they lost their starter for the season. It's the first year for Jeff Lebby. This is three different Mississippi State head coaches, unfortunately, since Mike Leach is passing. So, you know, they did pretty well against Texas. They were only down by 7 in the third quarter before Texas, you know, put it away. But I don't expect this to be much of a game, you know, unless Georgia has another 4-turnover game.
Right. And not that they're going to sandbag or anything before Texas, but, I mean, physicality going to be the watchword for the Texas game, try to establish the run, or is it going to be another shooting match? I mean, I guess Texas will have something to say with how that game goes, but do you think we'll have a replay of Alabama, or will Georgia try to establish more of the run?
I don't know. Texas has a very good defensive front, and Georgia's down two starting offensive linemen. I mean, maybe Jared Wilson is back. I would think that if they could hold him out this week and let Drew Bobo start again at center, that would be the way to go, and let Wilson's, if it's a, you know, foot or ankle injury, they haven't really specified what exactly it is, that, you know, get him back for that. You know, Texas has a lot of skilled players on the outside in the receiving game. They have, you know, really good quarterbacks, obviously, even their backup with Arch Manning. I'm not sure Georgia can go in there and run for 150 yards. We'll see. We'll see what they do this week, if they can start getting, you know, get that game going. But I don't know if that's the answer necessarily, running the ball against Texas either.
Game on the road that I'm concerned about moving forward.
Mark, you just talked about it, you know, in the trenches and just Georgia. And as I mentioned at the end of the break, just having to play kind of just like, you know, you're going to play in these shootouts. And Carson Beck's got to be really, really good from, you know, four quarters, obviously.
No doubt.
What he did against you know, Bama.
Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, happy Friday. What's going on, man?
Well, my day could have started off a little better.
Why?
Got a little call from my apartment complex that there was a little leakage from my AC unit, which was always fun to deal with. It wasn't even on. And the maintenance crew had to come out, and my floors were a mess.
How many times? I've lost track.
At least three.
I mean, it sounds like more like five. How many incidents have you had in this joint?
Well, I had my upstairs neighbor, his toilet overflowed and dripped down into my ceiling. I had my toilet backfire on me and overflow, and that was lovely as well.
So you paid it forward or downstairs?
Yes, exactly. And now this is the second time that my AC unit has leaked fluid onto the floor. So we are really rocking and rolling. Well, but that's Midtown living for
you. Well, but they came out and it was no charge, right?
Oh, yeah, that's all in my. What do you think I pay all this? Yeah. Big money for to live in the city, Carl.
Well, I know, but I mean, like that's no charge, though, right? I mean, they don't add on to your bill because of it. Well,
if they do, they're gonna be hearing from my attorney, Carl Dukes.
Can I make a suggestion to you, real quick?
Move
post communities in Brookhaven.
Yeah, Exactly. Unfortunately.
Sorry to hear that, though. Seriously, yeah. Man. Listen, we all have stuff we're going through, issues and things, and it's never fun. But, yeah, we got that text this morning, and I just shook my head because I was like, what? And the text literally read, like, fellas, I've got things going on this morning. So, sorry to hear that.
Not
bro.
Fun. All right. Let me see if I can get you guys more persuaded.
Okay.
Or perhaps a little doubt creeping in, because both of you are on the Falcons for our picks coming up in less than an hour. So I got some numbers for you.
Look at the numbers.
And I want to know, after I read through a couple of these, how are we feeling?
Okay.
Since the start of 2020, the Falcons are 7-18-1 against the spread following a Sunday victory. The worst mark in the NFL ahead of the Seahawks and the Saints. The Falcons are 3-10.
That was a Thursday night game.
Not last week.
That's true. Just trying to go against the trend.
Tampa was 2 weeks.
No, I'm just trying to go against the trend.
All right.
The Falcons are 3-10 against the spread in their last 13 games after a Sunday win with an against the spread cover in consecutive games happening back in October of 2022. The Panthers have been an underdog in 25 straight games and 34 of their last 35. They were last favored by a field goal in November of 2021. One more for you. With Andy Dalton since 2021, his teams are 3-9 against the second half spread, failing to cover that spread by 5 points per each second half. Does that make you feel better or worse?
No. These numbers have no bearing whatsoever on this, because I'll throw some other numbers at you. We had one bum at quarterback, and we had another bum that we witnessed throw a grenade toss in one game. We had one guy throw the one thing he couldn't do, a pick, that was Ritter. And these Panthers, they're not the same, Carl. They're banging. I'm sticking to my guns. I'm standing by my pick.
Falcons by 50. Those numbers mean nothing. I totally agree with you. The number six, it's reasonable. It is not 18 or 20.
Right.
I think in the NFL, again, you know, listen, it wouldn't surprise me, Chris, if the Panthers keep it close and they're competitive. That wouldn't surprise me. But to ultimately win the game by seven or more, I'm absolutely on the Falcons.
But a lot of that, some of that, you got Dan Quinn, you got Arthur Smith in those numbers. And this is Raheem Morris 2.0. And we've only got a small sample size of five. So I'm not trying to go against, because, you know, I love some of the numbers when they back up your argument. But when you don't, you're going to say, this is Coach Ra and a new Falcon squad.
But I also, and this gets back to my handling success, to your point about coming off of Sunday wins, et cetera, all that.
But it was a Thursday win.
Mike was right. It was a Thursday win.
But thank you.
That is meaningless.
But here's where I'm at with this, Mike. To your point about when are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Was that at the tail end of the Quinn era where we're losing games? You know, and right. I need to know exactly when those were. But they're interesting.
So that was since the start of. So these numbers are since the start of 2020.
Quinn got fired, and some of those were Coach Ra, but that was not Coach Ra's team, as we've talked about at length.
Yeah, I still, and listen, those are interesting numbers. That is not going to change how I feel about this particular game.
Right.
At all.
All right, a couple of more. since I botched that one, I want to correct this one. In his career, Kirk Cousins is 13-18 and 11-20 against the spread on the road, 6-12 against the spread, the worst of 193 QBs.
What are you trying to say?
That he doesn't play well against the spread on the road.
Yeah, and you know what? He didn't play well in primetime games until he threw for 500 yards. Come on, Turtle, with all these. This doesn't mean anything.
I'm just presenting.
Are you being a doubter
right now? I'm just.
Sounds like you're being a doubter about Sunday.
This is a classic case of don't kill the messenger. I'm just.
Mike, is he doubting our Falcons
just,
on Sunday?
I'm just presenting facts.
You're like these neighbors I come across with by the lake when I'm walking the dog. I'm still not. What are you going to be sold when we're in the playoffs? Come on, don't be that guy.
Turtle, all these numbers represent you saying you're not a believer in what's going to happen on Sunday.
Yes. You're using
the
numbers.
Are win.
You're using the numbers to actually hide your contempt.
I agree.
For the effort this squad's put.
That's
down
exactly
to be 3-2.
What's going on. Why don't you just come from behind that
yeah,
mask
that
of yours?
That facade of numbers.
Okay? And just own what you really feel, which is you don't think they're going to cover. More importantly, they may even botch this thing like you did the last time. The numbers you just gave to Mike.
But what if I picked them at 420?
Okay, well then, all right. Well, I mean, look.
Are you on them too?
No.
See?
There you
see?
Go.
Nope.
I'm telling you. See, this is the thing. Sometimes, like, I had the numbers last week, like, where Duke had some crazy stat where they hadn't won on the road in, like, 3 years in the ACC. But I just figured they covered the spread. It's 9.5. It's a bad beat. Georgia Tech won by 10.
Yeah, bad beat.
I said I thought Tech would win by a touchdown, but they covered the 9.5. But I had but the numbers, sometimes, though, the numbers were against me as far as Duke on the road in the ACC.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well.
So I know where he's coming from. He's giving us all the angles.
Yeah, it looks like he's got the mask on, if you ask
me. An educated gambler is a prepared gambler, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Sometimes when you just look at this, this is you know, study long, study wrong. You look at stuff and you go, oh, look at all these numbers. Sometimes you just go, you know what? They're the better team.
Right.
We're the better team. I get it. I hear you.
But we thought that last year.
This is what I'm saying, though. How do you handle success?
I don't know. We haven't seen it yet, right?
Well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. All right. Well, the Giants are about to find out what the heck is going on with their star player. Malik Nabers is in concussion protocol. He found himself at a Travis Scott concert last night.
I like Travis Scott.
Yeah, but that's a big no-no.
What?
So, yeah, man, no, man. Do you have a problem with the stud rookie wide receiver Malik Nabers, who has not been able to practice for more than 2 weeks because of a concussion,
right,
attending a very loud strobe lighty concert when he has a concussion?
Just talking to Carl about this.
No, you didn't go there.
If this concert has those aforementioned strobe lights, all of a sudden it's the Manchurian candidate, the Queen of Hearts. No, but I mean, all of a sudden, yeah, okay. So you've got a guy who's got concussions, varying degrees of concussions. And if it's a mild concussion, he's got to be cleared by the doctors. He may be already ready to be cleared. But you're telling me he can't go to a concert because literally they're going to put him under a hot lamp and all of a sudden he's going to have like a seizure? I mean, I'm not buying that.
I don't either. What are you saying, dude? The lights come up and I can't see. Yeah. My head hurts. I mean, right. Come on.
No, if the doctor says you can't be around bright light or loud music as part of you're going to be in a dark place, which sometimes you have to be if you've got a migraine,
if you have that degree of concussion. But no, man, come on. I don't have a problem with
this. Is Dable saying anything about it? I know the New York media was trying to get Dable to comment.
This is ridiculous. Why don't we get this man's personal life?
Because it's the optics of it.
What are the optics? He enjoys Travis Scott.
It's viewed as you don't take your job as seriously as you should.
Oh, my goodness. Let this man live. He can go to a concert. He's not on the field hitting anybody.
What Nelson is like Bill Joust of the sports reporters. Nah, these people with their hip-hop what?
It's nuts.
Come on. Let the guy have some fun.
Come on, okay, man.
All right.
Let him go enjoy Travis Scott.
Now, if the doctor said he can't be around the stuff you just talked about, that's a problem. If not, what the hell?
Yeah.
And if he plays this week, then super what the hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they won without him last week. Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they won because Seattle shot themselves in the...
That's right. And they did that last night.
I'll tell you guys this. I don't know if you guys remember this, and it's old now, so it doesn't matter. A few years ago, Bogey was injured. He was coming off of an injury, and he wasn't playing for the Hawks. And we went to a concert, and he was sitting literally right in front of us. And I said to Michelle, if he gets up and dance, I'm going to have a problem with this.
Right.
Because he was coming off like this knee injury. Obviously, Bogey chilled. He was there. He was there with some friends. He didn't even get up. And the point is, I know, just like me, somebody saw him and said, well, I thought he had a knee injury. He better not be out here dancing or whatever at this concert. People are nerds, and they're tattletales, Mike.
Right.
Let this man enjoy his life.
All right,
can I hear some Travis Scott, by the way?
Yeah, real quick before we get out of here. Fox Sports did a league-wide contest. Who has the best uniform in the NFL? Carl, please cue your laugh, because with 64% of the vote, the New Orleans Saints were voted number one in the NFL. They beat the Chargers 64-36 in the final.
And this is that alternate for Monday night. This is the regular black
this
and gold.
Is the, who okay. has the best standard yeah. uniform
it's
in
tight.
The NFL.
It is tight. It
Mike,
is tight.
I like those Lions uniforms they had on.
I thought the Lion alternates. But again, with all due respect, and we hate the Saints, but those uniforms are tight. The Florida Lee, it's clean. I love our throwbacks. I wish we'd make the throwbacks our new uniform, but can't do that.
Red helmet?
Yeah, I just go with that, man.
Yeah.
We'll be back to the, I guess, Road Whites, I guess, this weekend.
Probably.
All right.
With no confidence from Turtle that we'll win.
Well, hopefully no more grenade tosses. All right, Oren, hit my music.
I mean, you just, we were 7-10, 7-10, 4-12. I mean, it's just, it's a lot of crap football. Yeah. We're going to buck that trend.
I hope so. Right. I think we are. Mm-hmm. Turn this up, Orn. Turn the lights up. Flashing lights. Right. Can you handle it?
Right.
I mean, come on. That, yes, Orn putting on the flashing lights in there.
You better watch that. That thing's going to pop.
Hey, man, coming up, Dog Report's on the way. Also, we will get to our picks for the weekend, and Steve Coonan's going to stop by to talk Hawks.
Yes, I am.
Well, by the way, the Hawks fan section is alive. We have to address this, and
just
we will.
Rebranded.
Correct. Right. We will talk with Steve Coonan about that. It's Dukes and Bell.